Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica of MLB.com and the New York Daily News on the day, guys, when my parents celebrate their 71st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
How about
them.
That?
Not
that
is too amazing.
Bad. Wow.
Not 71 years.
Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, listen, we'll start with baseball today because I don't know about you guys, and I'm not going to get swept away by the romance, even though I did watch Field of Dreams again the other day. I love the idea, Bob and Mitch, of baseball going to Iowa, next door to the famous field with this pop-up ballpark, the 8,000 seats tonight, Yankees against the White Sox. I hope the weather is good because it's a very nice spotlight in August to shine on baseball.
I love what Aaron Boone is quoted as saying, is that he wants to, and I quote, have a catch, unquote, at the ballpark, which of course sparks a great controversy. And I must ask you guys, when you grew up, did you, quote, have a catch, unquote, or did you play catch, unquote? Very regional differences. Well, which way, Mitch, in Philly?
Wow, now that you ask me that, let's go outside and yeah, I think it was have a catch.
How about you,
my
Mike?
Pop would say, let's, actually, he would combine them, Bob. He goes, let's have a game of catch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember.
Now we have a third derivative.
It wasn't until I got to, BC, got to get out of in New Jersey, where I found out that there were people that actually heretically spoke of playing catch. I just put shivers down my spine. I mean, because it's have a catch. Anyway, Aaron Boone is into it, guys. He's into it.
No, I watched the movie the other night, and it just happened to be on, and I said, oh, this is a good time to watch this movie. I love the fact that Dwyer Brown, who plays John Kinsella, in the movie, plays Kevin Costner's dad, has been around for a lot of the run-up to the game. The ballpark looks great. And it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things. We always talk about this. I don't know who imagined this, but it came out of a great baseball imagination to have this event. It's only 200 miles from where the White Sox play. It's a cool thing.
I guess they're going to have twice as many people in the stands as they actually have living there. In the town.
Yeah, so 4,000.
They had to have a lottery, Mitch. They had to have a lottery for the 8,000.
Oh, everybody wants to be there. But, I mean, the mayor's name is Heavens. I don't know how much more perfect you get than that. What are the, I don't know, what are the dimensions?
330, 400.
The old Comiskey.
So nobody's getting a cheap home run.
No, Mitch. The dimensions are of the old Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
That's what they are. No, they've been faithful to a lot of this. I watched Harry Smith just did a great piece on the Today Show, but it just looks great. I mean, it just looks fantastic.
They're going to wear throwback unis, naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, it's going to be fun.
Well, if somebody comes out of the tall bushes, run.
It's so funny. I had, there's so many great lines in the movie. And of course, James Earl Jones is just magnificent as the writer. But it's so funny. When I heard it the other day, it's the great thing about the movie. When he says, is this heaven? It resonated with me like I was hearing it for the first time all over again.
Of course, the one thing that I guess, Mike, I take it they have not been able to correct is having Shoeless Joe batting the wrong way.
No, maybe there is some magic that could fix it, but
it's also singular, Mike, to baseball. Don't you think that you can create a romantic fantasy, feel good dad son kind of story that you really don't see that a lot in the other sports? I guess there's a Hoosiers every now and then, although that really wasn't a Field of Dreams version. It was just a good movie. I can't think of a single football one that, maybe Brian's Song, there are so many baseball movies that evoke this kind of stuff. And what is it still about baseball that makes that so magical?
It's a, Mitch, you know, it's a generational thing. It starts that. Okay. And I make no apologies for my love of baseball. We know what Mr. Ryan thinks about the greatest game ever invented by mortal mind. Okay. But when I was a kid, I grew up in Oneida, New York, which is the middle of New York State, and Yankee Stadium was 5 hours away. Shea Stadium was 5 hours away, okay? But the one time I could see Major League Baseball players in person was at the Hall of Fame game they used to have in Cooperstown. They don't play, they would play an exhibition in Cooperstown the weekend of the Hall of Fame. And my dad and I would go every year. I mean, when I was little, I was actually there when the day that Jackie Robinson and Bob Feller were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Wow. Okay. But all I can remember is that the game got rained out. Mm-hmm. And everybody running through the little town, and we ended up, this is just a personal story, but it's about the pull of baseball memory. We ended up under an awning, Bob, in the little town, standing next to Moose Scourin. Oh. Okay? Because the players were running for shelter as well. And my dad, God bless him, just said, "Mr. Scourin, this is my son, Michael." And Moose Scourin reached down and shook my hand. And that was the first interaction I'd ever had with a Major League Baseball player. But it's, Mitch, it's those sorts of memories that hold. I'm sure you've got them. I know Bob has them. And they are. It's somehow, Mitch, you're right. The pull of history is still more powerful in baseball than in any other sport.
The first job I ever had, if you can call it a job, I sold programs at the old Vet Stadium in Philadelphia. And at the time, they would take you at 10 years old. And I was 11.
Really? You're kidding.
I was 11. They wouldn't let you sell beer, hot dogs, or anything like that, but they would let you sell programs. And I'm not tall now, but I was really short then. I think I was about 4'9". And they would throw a bag over my shoulder that weighed more than me. And you would get there 2 hours before the game, so the gates weren't even open. And they'd throw these bags over your shoulders. And it was all commission. So they didn't pay you anything. You only got a nickel for every program that you sold. You sold 1,000 of them, you got 1,000 nickels. You sold two, you got 2 nickels. But we got to be out there before the fans were let in because, you know, you had to get loaded up. And the players would be out on the field. And of all people, Steve Carlton, who turned out to be a jerk when I became a sports writer, but Steve Carlton was a young pitcher then with the Phillies. And we used to go down and play catch with him. You know, we'd go to the front row and we weren't really loud on the field, but, you know, there were kids who were selling programs, and he'd throw the ball in and we'd catch, we'd throw it back, you know, have a little chat with the guys there, and then they would, you know, open up the gates and we'd go to work and they'd go to work. You know, we all had our little job at the baseball game, and you know, again, I don't know what it is about baseball. I suppose there's a parallel of that with football, but not really. You know, you don't really hang out with the football players. They only play once a week, and hockey, they're going by too fast on their skates. And so, I think everybody does have some kind of story like that, Mike. And this Field of Dreams game plays into
I got one more, Bob and Mitch. I got one more, and it's one that belongs to my son, Alex, okay? I was on my way from Connecticut to make a book tour stop in Boston. And we only live Bobby knows this, like 2.5 hours from Boston. It's November, okay? But it's a nice day. And we're coming up the Mass Pike, and I decided to bring Alex with me, and he was going to do a book report about making this trip with his dad, okay? I call the Red Sox PR department, okay? And I talked to the young man, and I said, "What's going on there?" And he said, "Absolutely nothing." They were getting ready to start packing things up. And I pulled up literally on Yawkey Way, which is what it was still called there. Alex and I get out, and Alex and I go in. We're met by Kevin. Alex goes and stands on the mound in the empty ballpark in the middle of November, okay? Mm. And he looks around and he says the following. He's like 11 years old. He goes, "This place is really small." And I said, "I said, you know what, Alex? I don't believe you're the first person to ever make that." But Mitch and Bob, he will remember that moment for as long as he lives.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
Wow. And they were packing up stuff for spring training. They were packing up spring training. Alex got to go into the clubhouse and was given a legit Red Sox cap. It was a very cool day.
I just hope that a lot of Iowans are getting into this game here tonight and not, you know, corporate guys flying right, in on their jets right. to say that they were there. I hope they don't box out the people who this is supposed to be for. That would be a shame.
Well, anyway, I will be watching tonight. I know you guys will be watching. I hope a lot of people are watching. It's just, you're right, Mitch. I'm not sure that this could be staged in any other sport, in any other venue, than this. It's basically playing a ball game on a movie set in the middle of Iowa. It's, you know, I'm in, okay? I'm
yep.
in.
Yep, and me too. Good.
All right, back to the real events of the national pastime. And, you know, I would love to say that some of these, Mitch, I would love to say some of these divisional races are taking shape, and some of them have, okay? But you look at the AL East right now, and the Rays still have a, you know, a pretty good lead. But from 1-4, it is right now, it is the Rays, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays. And Mitch, I'm not sure that those teams are going to be in that order at the end of September.
No, it's a great division. And considering what the predictions were at the beginning of the year, it's great because it's turned a lot of things on their ears. Toronto is fourth place, and they're 11 games over 500.
Yeah.
So this is and yeah, you're right, Mike. I mean, Tampa Bay has a lead, but Toronto's all of 6.5 games out in mid August. That's hardly insurmountable. And then, you know, the Yankees are 6 out, and Boston's 4 out, and you know the different fortunes and the streaks that some of these teams have been on between Boston and the Yankees.
The Sox have been in a terrible slide.
Terrible.
And Mitch, even last night when they're winning 20-1, they bring in a relief pitcher who gives up 7 runs in the ninth inning, and it ends up 20-8.
Well, the Tigers just got done thrashing them a couple times, you know, and the Tigers shouldn't be winning series from Boston. But they did. Tampa Bay, therefore, almost by comparison, because of the Yankees' woes that they've had up and down during the season, just seems like they just truck along. They just seem solid.
Do. You know,
they just chug, don't
they? They're the most reliable of the four now. I like that word, reliable, which doesn't mean it's going to maintain itself, but they are the most reliable of the four. But there's different dynamics surrounding, you know, obviously what's happening with Boston and the ascendancy of Toronto and the fact that, you know, the Yankees, if they get there, you know, do you want to pitch to what could conceivably be a killer lineup? There's a lot of variables left.
Bob, Mitch, what if I had told you on opening day that 116 games into the season, the Detroit Tigers would be just 4 games under 500?
No, that would have been stunning.
I'm telling you, they're better than people give them credit for.
Oh,
and
boy.
They like to play. I mean, they are... that rarity now in sports, with the exception of Miguel Cabrera, who's, you know, famous and rich, they are all, you know, young up and comers, and there's that energy that you get when you put kids like that together who realize, hey, we're jockeying for position for future greatness here. And look, it's been a lot of years of suffering here in Detroit to get all these number one picks that are starting now to begin to flourish and begin to pitch the way that people were predicting they would. And I'm sure if people said, could you trade a 56-60 record for a couple of years of competing in the playoffs, they would have taken it, because it's been really dire around here as we have fed every other team all the superstars who played. And Bob, I know you're going to do a parting shot on Miguel Cabrera, and I don't want to take anything away from that, but I believe they will sit him today. They're in the last game of a road trip in Baltimore. And he just hit .499 last night. And then they come back tomorrow and we'll play the weekend series against Cleveland.
Do they play past the weekend too? Do they have a bit of a homestand? They do, right?
Just 3 games or 6 games, and then they go back on the road. So, I mean, everybody's hoping that the Cleveland pitchers aren't up to snuff and that they can get it. But
Mitch,
I have to say one thing about him, Bob, and maybe you're going to touch on this in your parting shot. I admire what he's done. He is as pure a hitter as God has ever put on earth when he was in his prime. But he has been a very puzzling figure here in Detroit. I think he's more well thought of nationally. he has very little connection with the community at all. He disappears, you know, at the end of the season, comes back when it starts, rarely does interviews or extended. He's not a bad guy. He's a jovial, he's like a kid. And they've always said that about him. He's like a kid, but he's never been like the clubhouse leader because of that. I mean, there have been guys on the team, even when they were lousy, and he was the only really good player, who still took more of a leadership role than him. He has, for a guy who has done so much, he has not been in the forefront of Detroit sports. He is not someone that anyone here feels that they know. You know, the way that you can the way that we knew Joe Dumars, the way that we knew Steve Yzerman, the way that we knew Matthew Stafford. He's just not like that. He's just this once
Mitch,
every.
How much does it have to do with the fact that even though it wasn't this way when he got to town, the team has been in decline for so long? And
yeah. I'm sure that's it. And there's been a bit of resentment, Mike, that he gets this, you know, $36, $37, $38 million a year, and it handicaps them to a degree from going out and getting younger players. I mean, you can get, you know, three great young prospects, four, five, six, whatever, for his money. And to what end? He comes up he rarely plays the field, you know, he wants to, but he's mostly a DH, and he comes up every couple of innings, takes some swings, you hope he hits a home run, and then he sits back down. But he's not really changing the fortunes of the team, or they would have been a lot better over the last few years. Again, this is not to disparage what he's done. He has done everything they've asked him to do. He comes, he plays through a lot of injuries. He gets injured a lot at his age, and he hits home runs. But you wonder what his career would have been like if he could have gone to a team where he would have competed. And maybe that's what you're going to talk about later.
Well,
Bobby,
no, it's great many things you could talk about with him. So, you know, I'll just
throw in one thing because I don't think it affects Bob's parting shot either. My first great moment in person watching him is when he got knocked down by Roger Clemens as a kid. In the 2003 World Series, got up and hit an oppo home run off of Clemens, and I said, "This young man could bear watching." And you know what? And it turned out to be true. As we go through the American League, one more thing, guys. You know who never goes away? The Houston Astros never go away. They never, ever, ever, ever go away, and they are doing it again. And there they are. They're a half game away from having the best record in the American League. And I know the Toronto Blue Jays can mash, Bobby, but nobody can mash any better than the Houston Astros can.
No, the thing is, they're good. You know, they became a villainous. They are a villainous team. They are the team that everybody hates for a very obvious reason. And they've decided to embrace it, I think, and say, all right, we'll play the role. They're good, period. Nothing's changed. They're still good. I mean, Altuve got off to a slow start, but he's rebounded. That's just simple as that. And Dusty, seems to be the right guy at the right place at the right time for this team. You know, and people wondered about that, the septuagenarian manager, but he appears to be the right guy for the situation.
Then there is Mitch, the National League West, which it looks like is going to send three teams to the postseason, or that's the way it looks right now. Okay, and the Padres. Remember when we were all talking about the Padres, and the Padres are having a fine season. They're 16 games over 500, but they are sitting there in third place, and they are, Mitch, they're 9 games behind the Giants. They're 9 games behind the Giants and 5 behind the Dodgers.
Wouldn't we have to say the Giants are the biggest surprise?
Oh, 100%, 200%.
Everybody else is tied for second place.
Everyone else is tied for second. Nobody saw this. What did we miss?
A better pitching staff than anybody knew. And like guys like Kevin Gausman. Gausman's been one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. I'm doing a parting shot on a guy who has reminded people that he is one of the great players of his time and one of the great leaders of his time, and that is Buster Posey. Brandon Crawford has been great in the middle of their lineup. They catch the ball. They pitch. They've been a runaway train for the start of the season. They're 32 games over 500 right now.
Yeah.
And they find a new way to win every day. And, Mitch, it's hard to believe that it is now 11 years since they began that run where they won a World Series every other year between 10 to 12 to 14. One of them victimized your kids.
I got
hey, one more thing about them before you guys take over, okay? Who would have ever thought that Gabe Kapler, who lost his job with the Phillies, would be managing the best team in baseball?
No, that's a very interesting thing. I've been very proprietary to Gabe Kapler ever since we got to the Red Sox. I know he started out with the Tigers, but no, right? That was shocking.
Another
people
gift from the Detroit Tigers to the rest of baseball.
It's shocking people in Philadelphia. I'm sure of that. I just think I could throw two things in, guys. One is that with regard to Cabrera and sitting him, obviously in the hopes that he would hit number 500 at home. Right, that's the idea, I guess. Right, that in 1957, Stan Musial had 2,999 hits and was ending a road trip in Chicago on an afternoon, and they sat him down because they wanted him to celebrate in St. Louis and people to celebrate. But guess what? In the seventh inning, they needed a pinch hitter. And who came up against Mo Drabowski and hit a game-winning double? Stanley Frank Musial. So, you know, just to say that happens. Second thing is, we must pay homage, I believe. I feel compelled to pay homage. We're talking about Field of Dreams. We're talking about nostalgia. We're talking about throwback. Well, we had a throwback moment in baseball last night. Adam Wainwright threw a complete game, 88 pitch shutout in 2021. How about that?
Is he 40 now?
39, I think, Mike. I think I saw that this week. He's Jack Benny, I think. But we can look him up.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, things like that happen. You know, I get excited because I'm so down on the three outcome baseball.
On August 30th.
Okay.
He turns 40.
Ted Williams.
And how about what Corbin Burns did? I mean,
Corbin Burns. Thank you very much.
Striking 10 straight guys out.
Second
base
straight.
Yeah, but Mitch, it would have been more impressive if it had been against a major league team. Unfortunately, it was against the Cubs. By the way, it's only 15 years since I saw Adam Wainwright freeze Carlos Beltran. I was there too in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series. What do we call those? Noon to six?
God.
Breaking ball?
You know, it's funny how one Carlos Beltran's a fine player. He's got, just go look him up, folks. He had Carlos Beltran is remembered for one thing.
Bat on his shoulder. That
one
thing with the pennant-winning runs
it is
on
over,
the bases.
Right. More than, is there another player? Think about this. Is there another player that you can think of, even remotely, that was that good that is remembered almost solely in the city for one negative thing?
Mickey Owen.
He's a better player than Mickey Owen. I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
That's a good one, though, Mike.
Before one more thought on
Corbin. And it was a spitball pop.
Corbin Burns is. Mark, it's not that easily dismissed. He got all of them swinging on third strikes. I don't care if they're the Cubs, okay? At some point, you put a ground ball into play, you know, something. 10 straight strikeouts is pretty damn amazing.
It's happened twice this year.
Tom Seaver.
Tells you where we are in baseball, you know, when there's more strikeouts than hits now. Congratulations.
All right, before we go to football, I want to just touch very briefly on the National League East because no great teams there, but this is going to be an interesting last 6 weeks with the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves. The Braves did not go away. They did not pack up after Acuña got hurt, and here they are. And it's effectively, Mitch and Bob, it's effectively a three-way tie for first right now.
Yeah, one loss, one separation, and a loss is all. So no, that's gonna be fun. The competition is what it's all about. And in that sense, whatever the records are, whether the teams are fighting, the two teams are going to fight over 100 games, or it's three teams fighting to win 90, it's going to be exciting.
All right, I have a question for Mr. Album. As I remind everybody that we're very nicely sponsored and supported by Geico as always. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Mitch? Are you ready for some football?
Well, I'm ready for real football. I have always been a critic of preseason football. The only thing good about preseason football is that it gives you something to watch besides baseball in August. If you live in a town where your baseball team is already out of it in August, as we have where I live in Detroit for many years. But it is increasingly a meaningless exercise done only, A, to put more money in the pockets of the owners because they charge the same tickets. It's incredible. You still have to pay, in many cases, the same ticket prices as you would to go to a regular game. And it also gives them a chance to play some of their rookies or free agents and see what they do. But more and more, and now we're in a new era, folks, if you're not aware, we're in a new era of the 3 preseason game versus the 4 preseason game because we have 17 games. You've got to survive where they're actually coming for you for blood. And what has that has done is relegate stars like Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and other big quarterbacks especially, to the permanent sidelines for preseason games. They are not going to play any of them. The first time they'll take a snap will be a snap that counts. And I have long said if they can do it in college football, where they don't take a snap until a game that actually matters, and in some cases, you know, they're playing 2 top 10 teams to start a season, then the NFL can surely do it with all the time that they have to practice. And so you're going to see even less significance to these games and hopefully keeping players healthy. Because is there anything worse in the game of professional football than the sentence "got injured in preseason and isn't playing this year"?
Man,
you know, ACL in preseason, you know, where ripped his shoulder, won't be back until November. For what?
Mitch, you just said the magic number, okay? It's insane that they've added another regular season game. We know why, so there's no point in even debating that, okay? 17 games, and you know what? If they could, they'd go to 20 games, and because sure, they know the appetite for football in this country. But I'm telling you, they could shorten the preseason all they want. The grind of an even longer regular season is going to catch up with everybody. It's going to catch up with everybody. And it's just, it's they should have shortened it, but they were never going to do that. So they liked it.
Bad chance.
Well, I echo Mitch in that one of my primary goals in my career was avoiding as many exhibition, and I refuse to call them preseason, exhibition games as possible.
Yeah, that's what they are, Bob. I mean, I'll look in tonight out of curiosity. I want to see maybe if Cam Newton has remembered how to play football, because I think that's a fair question. Isn't it, Mitch? Has he remembered how to play professional football? Okay. And I want to see even I think Mac Jones, Bob, I just read something somewhere. I think Mac Jones is going to take some snaps tonight. Well, I hope so. Because I'm curious about Mitch. Aren't you curious about Mac Jones? I am.
Yeah. I defer to Bob. He lives there. Yeah. Are they predicting that he's going to start the season?
No. As a matter of fact, the coach has backed Cam Newton from day one. He has not remotely gone there to suggest that Cam is not anybody other than Cam is the starting quarterback.
Now,
you want
to ruin a quarterback, throw him in on the first game of the season.
The population, is curious, and the fans are. That's it's the number one parlor game in Boston right now. It's who's going to be the quarterback, everybody's all over this one, believe me. But
it's the number one parlor game in all of NFL fandom, isn't it? Who's going to be the quarterback?
Well, in a city.
Just in your town. I mean, everywhere.
Well, yeah. How is Jared Goff being received in Detroit, Mitch? I'm curious about that. I have no idea.
There are so few expectations for this Lions team that I'm predicting they'll actually be a pleasant surprise to people. They've got a brand new coach, Dan Campbell, who every day comes out with some kind of outlandish comment in his press conference. His press conferences are the most entertaining thing there is about the Lions. You know, the other day he said, you know, we inherited this team from the last two guys, the general manager and the coach, and, you know, they're pretty good. There are no turds here. There are no turds on this team. You know, he'll give you when there are no turds quote every single day. So people love him because he's colorful. And they And since Stafford is gone and a lot of other guys that they had are gone, they're expecting almost nothing. So Jared Goff comes into a situation where if he's marginally good, he's going to be, you know, embraced because they're expecting nothing after Matthew Stafford left. They're predicting, you know, 5 wins for this team. And so if they win 7 games, they're going to be considered some kind of a success. But it's yet again a new era here in Detroit. We have new eras every 3 years when they bring in new coaches and GMs.
And so tonight we have the Washington football team against Bob's Patriots.
Yes.
And that, you know, I don't even know who's going to be playing quarterback. Is Meineke Muffler going to be playing? What's the kid's name who played well at the end of last year?
Meineke Muffler?
No, he's got a name like Meineke. Haneke. Thanks, Tyler. It just stuck in my head as Meineke. The Washington football team is intriguing to me. Okay, they have a really good coach in Ron Rivera. And they have hired Bob's favorite quarterback of all time. Fitzmagic is taking his show. Is this team number 9, Bob? Is this team number 9 for Ryan Fitzpatrick? I hope it is, because he will get to double digits eventually. Guys, if he can remain healthy, that the biggest if of all with quarterbacks in the NFL, I think the Washington football team can once again win that division.
Are they going to be terrible again? Is the NFC East going to be another one of those jokes?
No, I think
things?
The Cowboys are going to be better. The Giants are a great mystery to me because I am not. I'm still not convinced that Daniel Jones is the guy, Mitch. I just am not. Okay, I looked it up the other day, and I think he's had in 2 seasons. He's had 5 300-yard passing games. Justin Herbert, I think, had 5 300-yard games in an afternoon last year for the Chargers. Okay, so I just don't know about him. I don't have any expectations for the Eagles with their current quarterbacking situation. So I think it will be better. I don't think sub 500 will win it, but I think you can actually have 2 teams with a winning record at least this year.
Wow, 2 whole teams.
That's where the bar is set in what was once the powerhouse. I can't believe I just said that, but yeah, we might have 2 over 500 teams in the NFC East.
Well, there are a number of teams that intrigue me in terms of that have been locked for years and now are not. Like New Orleans, who's quarterbacking New Orleans? Right. Is it going to be Jameis Winston? Is it Taysom Hill? They are, you know, perennially a pick to potentially go to the Super Bowl every year. I don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. You know, for so long, it's just been Drew Brees, and now they have to make a decision.
They still got famous Jameis, don't they?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's either Winston or Taysom Hill. Are we going to end up with Aaron Rodgers staying there? Are we ending up with Deshaun Watson staying there? Are we, you know, we know
what,
for the moment.
Year?
Oh, everybody,
this year we are.
Is what you think Watson's?
I don't know.
That story is over?
No one knows. I mean, that's the great mystery. I can't imagine what, you know, trying to put that team together, figuring out where he's going to be.
I cannot
it's
imagine
still a mystery.
Put that team together.
There's nothing about the Packers, by the way, that doesn't make me think that they're as much a Super Bowl contender as the Bucs are. I think the Packers are loaded with Rodgers. And I forget which ex-teammate of his, by the way, Mitch, was saying the other day that he believes that after this year, Aaron's going to be taking his talents to Bourbon Street. I forget which one of his
would be
former,
interesting.
That's which one of his former teammates said that, but they did. Yeah.
Mike, it is number 9. This will be team number
for
9.
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzmagic 9. Yeah.
The only thing on the Packers is the offensive line. David Bakhtiari is not going to start, which is huge. And they've got some other young guys. I mean, they always seem to make it work, and Rodgers can run around to save his life better than anybody else, but they got a new starting center. You know, you never talk about offensive lines because they're not sexy and nobody knows who the people are, but they do matter.
They matter a great deal. We know how important
a great
they
deal.
Are.
And the Denver Broncos, another team I'm not sure who's going to be the quarterback. You got Drew Lock, you got Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where they're going to go. I'm really curious to see what happens with the Deshaun Watson situation, if that ends up being what it is.
That's the greatest.
And I want to see Trevor Lawrence. Are you guys as curious as I am to see
yeah.
that?
Oh,
that is the ultimate experiment.
And Urban Meyer,
team.
That partnership.
Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence. Is Tim Tebow still on that team? I can't. He hasn't been cut yet. I mean, they're like this whole outlier thing. You know, I saw somewhere that Vegas gave them the best odds to be a worst to first team. They actually take odds on things like that. How good could they be? How good is he going to be? I mean, he was so singular in college football. Is he just going to be another guy in the NFL his first year?
I think he's going to be a star.
No, but I mean, is he going to come out of the gate that way? Or is he going
to
have his...
It's hard to come out of the gate doing that, okay? I mean, but again, look at what Herbert did last year. Okay, because right. I mean, they're going to be an intriguing team. I love Justin Herbert, and so could he play as well as Justin Herbert? Yeah, I mean they're both big and strong, and they can both run. But to me, again, the other part of that partnership makes them an absolute must-watch team, and that is Urban. Mitch, how is this act going to play in the NFL?
That's a great question.
It's such a good question, Mike. It didn't always play in college football.
Right.
I mean, this
right.
is a guy who burned right. himself out twice in right. college football. So and in the NFL, where there are no rules about how long you can sleep at the office and all the rest of that, I mean, I just Urban Meyer has one speed. There's no such thing as, you know, revving up or downshifting. He goes one speed and overdoes it all the time. And, of course, that doesn't play very well in the NFL. You know, those guys have their coaches can sleep at the office. Dick Vermeil can do, you know, what he did for – but players don't. Players have we're done. You know, practice is done. We're done. And the coach can't just yell at him and say, you know, I'm going to bench you and, you know, I'm going to take away your scholarship. You don't have that power in the NFL. It's a players' league, not a coaches' league. And, this is one of the reasons he's picked a lot of college guys to be his stars. You know, hopefully, I think he's counting on them to not know the NFL mentality yet. And so maybe they're going to listen to him the way that they would have if they were fifth-year seniors in college. But you're right, Mike. It is the most fascinating non-playoff related team to watch. I don't think they're going to
make the playoffs. And if Urban was coming back, Mitch and Bob, if he was coming back, this is the situation. He gets Trevor Lawrence. He gets a team that had reached basically the bottom. He gets to do whatever he wants. If he can't do it, if he can't make it there, he can't make it anywhere in the NFL.
And just to amplify how many quarterback issues and of intrigue there are in the league, I don't believe we've mentioned the name Dak Prescott yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And there's right. another interesting one. To what degree will he rebound to, you know, where he was? Yeah, so that's they're always, let's face it, they're not America's team. That's a bunch of BS, but they are a team of interest always. There's no question about that.
By the way,
they
will be as long as the Chargers, I don't look too far ahead. I basically don't schedule-wise look past tonight's exhibition games, okay? Do you know what they did to the Chargers? They've got them playing a 1 o'clock game in Washington on the opening Sunday. So they got him coming coast to coast and playing the dreaded 10 a.m. Pacific time game to open the season for Justin Herbert. I think the Chargers, I'm telling you, L.A. has two intriguing football teams this year. I want to see Matthew Stafford get this moment with the Rams. And by the way, I didn't mean to, and I shouldn't have. They're as much a Super Bowl contender as anybody if Matthew Stafford stays healthy.
Yeah.
And I love watching this kid Herbert play football.
Yeah. One other thought on Matthew Stafford in a second. One more word from our friends at Geico.
Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're very right, Mike, about Stafford being a really intriguing story in the NFL.
Oh,
and
boy.
He will not, this will be the first season that he doesn't have to play in a preseason game. He always played in something of the preseason game. He's one of those guys that will just go out there. He loves playing football. But you will first see him on his first snap as an L.A. Ram quarterback that counts. And they are, from what I'm hearing, him and McVay are getting along great. And this is the other thing about Matthew Stafford, that when people talk about, well, what's his potential? Consider the coaches he's had coaching him.
Oh God.
Since
don't do
he's
it.
Been
don't
in the league.
Don't do it, Mitch. Don't do it.
You know, he started with Jim Schwartz, then he went to Caldwell, and then went to Matt Patricia. These are not guys who, they're nice guys, all of them, especially Caldwell, but they're not gurus. They're not, you know, getting the best out of their quarterback. And now he goes to a team where a guy, a very young guy who he can relate to, has already done that once with a lesser talented guy in Jared Goff, I believe, in terms of pure, you know, arm strength and ability. And he's now going to be, you know, it's like a kid in the candy store. It's like, wow, you get coached like this and you have players like this and there's a tradition of winning like this. And so I am so intrigued by what he can do. And I just pray that he stays healthy. That's when Matthew Stafford is healthy, he can do anything. But over the last few years, within the first couple of games, something has happened that has nagged him the whole rest of the season. And he continued to play. He doesn't miss games. He's an Iron Man. But he's a little off. You know, his foot is a little off. His hand is a little off. Whatever. I just hope he gets a clean season to do what he could do with the Rams, and then they become a really, really intriguing.
Mitch and Bob, Matthew is 2 years younger than his head coach.
Yeah.
Matt is 33. McVay is 35. They probably feel like they went to school together.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're in your 30s in the NFL and you got all these kids who are 20, you can feel like you're from another generation. And so I'm sure he can relate to the coach that way. Talk about a guy who fell into a perfect situation.
Oh boy,
he really did, and I wish him the best. He's a good guy, and we'll see what happens there. All right, I think we've covered what we're going to cover.
So it's
time to get to our parting shots. They're brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Our parting shots, Mike Lupica, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
I don't know that Buster Posey, even playing just 2/3 of Giants games as the team tries to keep him healthy, can win the National League MVP award. But he ought to be in the conversation, even as the Giants are pacing him while they move towards October with the best record in baseball. The Giants are the best team, and Posey, at the age of 34, after taking 2020 off so that he and his wife could care for two infant daughters they adopted, identical twins, born 8 weeks prematurely, is the team's best player. He has spent most of his career being exactly that. He's currently hitting .336 and looking exactly like the Giants' best player when they were winning three World Series between 2010 and 2014. He is one of the great catchers of all time, one of the great players of his time. And he is back the way the Giants are.
Miguel Cabrera is getting there. He hit career homer number 499 last night. With 2,950 hits, he will become a member of the exclusive 500 homer, 3,000 hit club before the season is over. Now, this is year 19 of a tremendous career. He's a two-time MVP and a four-time bat champ and the only Triple Crown winner in the last 44 years. You know, I've heard people suggest he's the best right-hand hitter of all time, but I think Rogers Hornsby, a career .358 hitter, has his hand up in the back of the room. Hey, at the least, he's top five. That ain't bad, folks.
Well, that didn't take long. A college football player has now been hired to be part of a national ad campaign. Dr. Pepper will feature Clemson quarterback DJ Uiagalelei in their high-profile Fansville ads this season. Never mind that DJ has only played a handful of games as the backup to Trevor Lawrence. In advertising, you bet on the star that is coming, and being a Clemson quarterback has been a star position for a while. So DJ gets paid big and will be seen everywhere. It's all part of the NIL surge that has happened since the rules change. And while I can't argue with players making money if everyone else is, the fact is, everyone else isn't. Uiagalelei, who gushed, "I can't wait to see myself on TV," will be a singular TV star on his team. His linemen won't get this. His tight ends won't get it. And if you think at age 19 or 20, that doesn't mess with your ego and the ego of your teammates, you don't know human nature. Uiagalelei may be part of Fansville, but the jury is out as to how all this NIL stuff will affect the more important part of college football, Teamsville. That's going to wrap it up for today's program. We do this every Monday and Thursday, so we'll be back after the weekend to do it all over again. Until we see you then, reminding you that we appreciate ratings, we appreciate comments, and we appreciate you telling your friends that you can get this podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, any place you get the popular podcasts. Until Monday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying have a great weekend.